Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
This morning, I want you to help me as we get started with our message from God's Word. I need you to repeat something after me. Now, some of you have heard this phrase, some of you haven't. But you'll see as we dive into the scriptures in a minute why I'm hoping it will register. Not just now, but in the days ahead. Right? Here's what it's going to be. Just listen first. People make choices, and choices make people. Okay, ready? I'm going to say people make choices. You say people make choices. And choices make people. You ready? Two parts. People make choices. Choices make people. Fantastic. Now let's do it together. People make choices. Choices make people. Every day we're making choices. Now, if you have your copy of God's Word, turn to Ephesians. We're going to continue our journey. We're in chapter 5. We're beginning with verse 15. We'll read about 5 verses, go through verse 20, and we'll stop, pick back up on verse 21 next week. People make choices, and choices make people. Now, last week, as we continue our study through Ephesians, we saw that Paul was talking to the church at Ephesus about how to live the Christian life. And he reminded them that it was very important to not allow the flesh to creep back in, that's the old way of life. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. But it's a journey. The sanctification process from salvation till we get home in heaven is a journey. Sometimes that journey can be difficult. It's a life of ups and downs, even as a believer. And so he picks back up and he reminds them that a lot of what's going to happen in your life based on the abundant life while we're here is going to be based on our choices that we make every day. So here it is. Verse 15, Ephesians 5, he says, be very careful then. In other words, picking back up what we talked about last week, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. I was listening to a podcast recently of a pastor who was quoting another guy who said this about wisdom. God's wisdom helps you stupid-proof your life. I like that. God's wisdom helps you stupid-proof your life. And so right here, Paul is reminding the church, you want to have godly wisdom. James says we can pray for wisdom, and we should, on a regular basis. So he says, be very careful then, as you live out the Christian life, how you live, not as unwise, because we only have so much time, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Or, in our language here in the great state of Mississippi, every opportunity. Every opportunity, because the days are evil. Can I get a witness? All you have to do, go to school, go to work, go to social media, turn on the television. There's evil everywhere. And we know from God's Word that it's going to get worse. We also know from God's Word that light shines in darkness. And God is faithful and He's with us. And He's going to help us through anything and everything we go through. There is a reason you are here during this time in history and me too. Have you ever thought about that? Some people think, man, I wish I was in the 1800s. I wish I'd been waiting to be born about 100 years. No, there's a reason. God has all of us here for now. Whether we like it or not, God knows what he's doing. So make the every opportunity, because the days are evil. And then it says in verse 17, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Verse 18, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. I believe the Bible teaches the moment of conversion, the Holy Spirit comes in our life. It's in God's word. There's some that think there's this second blessing somewhere after salvation. I do not believe the Bible teaches that. I think there are people, good-hearted people, that take Bible out of context in that particular doctrine or matter. So when we build a doctrine, we better be careful that there's also scripture coming here, coming here, coming here. So we need to be very careful. I believe at the moment of conversion, we have the Holy Spirit. I think what he's talking about here is being filled up with God, meaning he's not just a part of your life on Sunday, on Easter, Christmas Eve, or whatever. He is our life. And the longer we live, the more we realize Lord means boss, and we allow him to be a part of every aspect and part of our life, whether it's work, family, friends, hobbies, whatever it may be. Doesn't mean we're odd for God. It just means we're genuine Christians in love with Christ. So why does he use this drunkenness example? Well, the Bible is clear that drunkenness is a sin. Now, by God's grace, I don't know personally what that's like, by God's grace. But I will tell you this, I have been around some drunk folks before. Some of them are my good buddies. And some of them probably still get drunk sometime. But I love them. But I'm going to tell you what I've noticed. Because even in the Baptist school I used to go to years ago, in the great state of Mississippi, you may be surprised, but there are some that sometimes are drunk. I know. It shocked you. It is true. And there were times living down there in the baseball dorm, I kind of looked forward to messing with them when they came in. I was that guy because they just weren't quite themselves. And man, I had all kind of fun. I had masks that I'd put on and run up to them. It was a good time. I hated they were drunk, but I thought, that's their choice. I'm going to have some fun with this. They weren't quite themselves. And if you know what debauchery is, you know that that's not good either. That takes it to a whole nother level where they're living a sinful life and having sinful actions. So he says, don't be drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, meaning this. If you're drunk, you're not going to be yourself in a bad way, more than likely. But if you're filled with the Spirit, you're not going to be yourself in a godly way, because Christ in you lives out every choice that you make in life, and he gives you some things on the inside that we're about to get to that you can't get anywhere else. And no person, no alcohol, no nothing. No smoke stogie dope or whatever it is can't give you that. I botched that word up, didn't I? But Christ can give us things that's far better than anything our world has to offer. So we need to be filled up with him so we'll make godly, wise decisions. Listen, we don't need anything to affect us in our depraved state anyway. So we don't need to add to stuff that's going to mess us up. We need to allow the Lord in a balanced way to be part of our entire life. So he says, don't be foolish. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads. Be filled with the Spirit. So you'll live the Christ life. He'll just take control and you'll be somebody you're not because it's Christ in you. Speaking to one another. Well, what does that look like? He gives us some examples. Speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, before diving in a little bit further, people make choices, choices make people. We have little choices, we have big choices. For example, some of you may have noticed I have a new pair of shoes right here. Feel good about them. They're what I would call dressy casual shoes. Not dressy, not casual. They're in between, okay? I've been needing some dressy casual shoes. Before we left Florida to come here, the last Sunday, from the worship center to the Fellowship Hall, where they were gracious enough to give us a reception, I had a blowout on my dressy casual shoes. Hadn't replaced them. I thought, I'm going to do it. And I did it. And I bought these. And I feel good about it. You say, well, I don't really like them. Well, that's okay. They're not your shoes. They're mine. I made a choice. Now, the thing about buying shoes is you can't say, now, sir or ma'am, can I walk in these for a week? And if I don't like them or they don't fit quite right, you have to make a decision. I had to make a choice. I tried on the 10. They were a little tight. I tried on the 10 and a half, which is what I went through, and they're a little long. I mean, I used to work in a clothing store. I ever tell you that? Well, I was in college, J. Midius Limited in the Metro Center. None of you probably know what that is. And there's a whole thumb right there. And that's usually not good. You used to say, you don't need those shoes, sir. They're a little bit too big. But I bought them because I'd rather be more comfortable. So this is a choice. It's a decision. I made an investment, and they're fine. I tie them up a little tighter. They're comfortable, and they're fine. We're going to make it. I'm going to make it, okay, with these shoes. One day, I can get another pair of shoes if Kelly will let me. One day, I'll be okay. That's a choice, but it's not a major choice with extreme consequences. Now, there are some choices, like a soul mate who you marry. Ain't like buying a pair of shoes. As a believer, we know what the Bible says. And sometimes there are things that happen after you say, I do, that are outside your control. We get that. But we go into it doing everything we can. Dear God, help me make the right choice. Am I even supposed to be married? And if I am, you pray over it. And you pray some more. And you try to understand if it is God's will. Because I used to tell our students when I was a youth minister, you do everything you can to try to find the right one because your date could be your mate. Because once you say I do, it becomes the right one. That's the way we need to go into it. That is a major choice and decision in life that has great consequences. So as we look at choices that we make, and folks, clearly, God didn't make us as robots. All we have to do is go back and reread what we just read. It's right there in the scripture. He allows us a free will. And so as we think about this particular topic, let's look at what God says in his word a little bit more. Number one, make good decisions because you only have so much time. Make good decisions, godly decisions, because we only have so much time. And we don't know how much time that will be. The original language used in the scripture communicates the idea of precision and accuracy. Circumspectly means with exactness. We cannot lead the Christian life to chance. We must be intentional. Last week we discovered that people were being encouraged to live out as new believers, leave the past behind. Now, He's telling them, as he's telling us, the value of daily decisions. Why is it important? You know why? Because we're going to die. Unless Jesus comes back. You say, oh, I can't. That's not very encouraging. Well, it's reality. I'm just like you. It's not like every day I wake up thinking about, I'm going to die. But we're going to die. And sometimes we need to hear that and be reminded how it's important every moment of every day to be intentional with how we live our life. Because we're going to die. I dare say if you were to go to the cemetery this afternoon as in visiting it, not going there for forever, but if you were to go to visit, you'd find all kind of age groups there. You would. It might break your heart of some that you would find, and especially if you were to find out their story. But it's true. We don't know. We don't know when it'll be. So therefore, it is very important that we make the right decisions. The Bible says it's appointed to man once to die, and then the judgment. I can tell you this. We don't know when Jesus is coming back. But we do believe, I dare say, most of us in the room are listening, believe he's coming back. And if you look at what's going on in the world, you never know. I tell you this, we're closer today than we were last Sunday or yesterday. I don't know when. But I can tell you this, I'm thankful that I know that I know that if I died, I would go to heaven. Are you? If you don't know, I wouldn't care how late you're going to be for lunch. I wouldn't care what people might think. I would come talk to somebody during the invitation. We're going to stand in a minute. We're going to have some staff members standing here. You say, well, I'm just telling you. The Bible says, these things have I written that you might know that you have eternal life. If you don't know, it'll be worth being tardy for lunch to come and nail that down. We only have so much time. We've got to get our foundation right. So in order to live this way as the church, we've got to be a part of the church. And that means more than just sitting in a seat or attending. It means having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Why is it important? Because we're going to pass. What is important? Usually we can tell what's important to us individually by how we spend our money. Look at your checkbook. Who we spend time with. What we spend time on. Here's some examples in our spiritual life. How important is it that we grow spiritually? Now, folks, I'm not talking about church yet. We're going to get to that. I'm talking about our relationship with Christ, our spiritual life. How can we expect to make godly decisions and make the most of however long we have if we put Jesus in a compartment over here and we do our thing? And every once in a while, we'll pull him out. Spiritual life. This is just something for us to all of examine individually. How important is he in our life? Is he our life? Is he the most important thing? Is he more important than children or a family member? Is he the Lord, the boss of our life? Are we able to laugh with him in our devotional life? Cry with him? Ask him questions about what's going on? Our spiritual life is so important. Out of that, everything flows. How important is that in your life? And then you think about priorities. You think about your family life. Guys, as much fun as we have with the fact that we're not everything we need to be for our wife, and that goes both ways, and Scripture's headed towards some of that in Ephesians, by the way, in the weeks ahead. We want to be everything we need to be in our home for our spouse, for our children, because we have that much time. I used to have people when our children were little, oh, you better enjoy them because they're gone, just like that. And I just kind of, you know, because people would say that a lot. Yeah, I know. And guess what? They were gone just like that. And so our family life is important. We need to be intentional. We need to invest in our family. They need to know that we love them. None of us are going to get it right or perfect, but you don't want to have any regrets. And then your church life. How important is your church life? Wherever you're plugged in, if it's East Haven, are you serving somewhere? You don't need to get bogged down trying to do everything. You need to have balance in your life. We all do. But there needs to be something, because God has put you in this church that you're doing to serve Him, singing, teaching, whatever it might be. There's so many opportunities. How important is that? Because I can tell you this, Mom and Dad, your children are watching how important that is too, by decisions that you make every day and every week. And then it's what I call life. Friends, fun, health, hobbies. Good decisions, because you only have so much time. People make choices, and choices make people. Years ago, I may have told you this, I had a chance to interview Dr. W.A. Criswell. He was in Mississippi for a while, and I was taking a class and had a unique opportunity because part of my assignment was to interview a preacher. So God put these things together, and I had a chance to interview him. And those of you who've never heard of him, he was a longtime pastor at First Dallas. He's in heaven now, and a legend in Baptist life back in the day. And so I just happened to be able to ask him some questions. And one of the questions was, do you have any regrets? He immediately said, family, my children. I didn't invest enough time in my family and with my children. A little tear in his eye, we went right on to the next question, because I was young and nervous and didn't know what to do with that. But you could tell it was tender to him. And he was teaching me and reminding others in my class as the professor went over some of these interviews. Make sure you have a spiritual foundation. Make sure you're doing your best in your church life, in your job. But make sure you don't have any regrets in investing spiritually and in other ways to your children. So one day you'll think, because you only have so much time. As an example, our priorities. And y'all, balance is so important. None of us is going to get it right in all those different areas. But we must be intentional. That's what he's saying. Circumspectly. Be intentional about your time and your day and your work and vacation and conference and whatever it might be, your hobbies. Make sure you are intentional. Secondly, we see this. Make good decisions, because you only have so much time. We're all going to die. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Number two, be delightful because of the Lord and not your circumstances. Be delightful because of the Lord and not your circumstances. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. Doesn't say all things are good. It just says somehow we trust God with salvation, daily life, even when it gets tough. Be delightful because of the Lord and not your circumstances. When we come to Christ, Holy Spirit lives inside of us, as mentioned before when I was reading the text. To be filled means, in the original language in the Greek, it's plural form, to be filled continually. You keep on drinking from the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're filled with the Spirit, and we act more and more like him, and we bear the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, gentleness, and on. Christ is our life, not a part. And he gives us a couple of evidences here. Being joyful and being thankful. Now let's explore those just for a minute. To be joyful, that's not happiness. That's based on the circumstances around us for a season, for a time. Joy is what's going on inside of us because of God. He never changes. Our circumstances do, but as we grow in Christ, he can give us a joyful spirit. Let me give you an example of something that I believe is because this gentleman in the latter part of his days and lives and weeks had joy. His name is Mike Newell. He's in heaven now. I got to know Mike after I came here. Been a longtime member. Mike made choices in the latter part of his life he wished he hadn't made. But Mike got things right from all indications with God and with others. And he got as plugged in as he could. He came here on a Wednesday night after being diagnosed with cancer before he went into the hospice season of his final days. And he let us pray for him. We surrounded Mike. And so Brother Phil and I had a couple of chances, as well as some of our deacons and others, to visit with Mike and talk with him during those final days of cancer that ultimately took his life. And I found Mike to have the joy of the Lord restored in his life. Now, folks, we're talking about a guy, and I can't relate to it, that had cancer that was hurting. There were things in the final days that helped him be more comfortable, but he was in a lot of pain. One of the days that Brother Phil and I went over to see him, before we left, I thought, you know, you visit, you pray. I thought I'd do what Brother Phil asked us to do in one of our former visits. I thought we might sing. Because you may or may not know this, Brother Phil was a voice major in college. He doesn't tell many people that, but he was. And so one time in our visit before, and I'd done this in the past, but not lately, and it's such a great way to visit with folks that are hurting and not doing well. And so I decided to suggest that we sing before we left. Said, Mike, would you like for Brother Phil and I to sing? So, yeah, what song? He said, and I wasn't expecting this. I get it just as I am. You know, the song that we sing during invitation. When I was growing up, we sang it probably every other Sunday. It was the Billy Graham Crusade song, Just As I Am, Without One Plea. So I was like, okay. You think about it, it's a great song. That point, that season in his life, those days. So y'all, Brother Phil and I start singing. There's no instrument. There's no keyboard. Just us singing a cappella. So we get through the first verse. We start on the second one, and we go blank. So Phil grabs his phone. Hang on just a minute. I got. He's pulling up the words, and I'm humming. Me humming. Anyway, we found the words. We jumped in there, finished the song, left. We found out later from his wife Christy and other family members that he laughed about that. He got the biggest kick out of the fact, not necessarily that we were singing that I suggested, but that we forgot the words to that old song that we should have known. Certainly Brother Phil should have remembered it. And he was quickly looking it up, and I was humming. He's laying there, and he's hurting, and he's dying of cancer, and he knows that, but he's able to have joy Now, where'd that come from? I'm going to tell you where it came from. It came from the Holy Spirit living in his life, reconnecting with God, and knowing very soon he's going to transition and be with him forever and ever and ever. It's called joy. You see, joy is with us even during difficult times. And when we make wise and godly decisions, it's an overflow. And another way is being grateful. That's another thing that it talks about. It talks about singing all kinds of songs and making a joyful noise, even if we're not a soloist. But it also is having a grateful attitude, not just in November here in the States, but on a regular basis, because God has been so good to us. Let me point out a few characters that aren't mentioned, cross-references here. One is David. There's David, Daniel, the Apostle Paul, and the leper. Not leopard, but the leper. Here we go. David. We think of David in Psalm 17:7. I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness. Now, if you know the life of David, and we studied it last fall in Hungry Men, he was a man after God's own heart. That didn't mean he was a perfect man, because he made choices that cost him, but he was repentant. And he dealt with his consequences, but he finished strong the best he could because he was a man after God's own heart. He finished strong, unlike King Saul before him. Why? Because King Saul was half-hearted, and he would lie or tell half-truths, and he didn't finish strong. David made bad decisions. But in that passage that I just mentioned, over and over, and this was a time when David in Psalm 17, where he had been confronted by Nathan with the sin of Bathsheba, he was not doing well, but he was repentant and he was broken and he was praising God, thanking God for being so faithful and gracious in his life, even though he was in a difficult place. Gratitude comes from choices that we make because we're so thankful for God's grace in our life. Daniel, Old Testament, chapter 6, verse 10, we find he continually, even though knowing he was going to be punished for worshiping the one true God, gave thanks. Most of us have no idea about persecution, and yet here's a guy like Daniel and the next one that even when they were persecuted, they had a grateful heart for God's grace. And then that would lead us to the Apostle Paul. Philippians was written by Paul, and other epistles were, while he was in prison. And that is full of joy. That's what Philippians is all about. Maybe we'll study it sometime. You probably have. And here's a guy who was in prison, and yet he was grateful for God. I give thanks for you in all my prayers, he says, throughout the scriptures. And then there was the leper in Luke 17. He was the one that threw himself at Jesus' feet, thanking him for curing him. Others didn't, but he did. Choices. People make choices, and choices make people. This past week, I had a chance during the lunch hour to spend some time with an old friend. Doesn't live around here. We went to college together. We hadn't seen each other in decades. It was great to see him. Through that conversation, we had to catch up on about 30 years for about 45 minutes or so. But as he shared a little bit about his journey and some things that were difficult and things that are still difficult, I'll never forget, toward the end, he looked at me and he said, "But you know what, Al?" He said, "God has been so good to me." He said, "He has blessed me." Not taking any credit. He had a grateful attitude at this point in his life. Didn't always make great choices, but he made some good ones and some godly ones in recent days and weeks, and he just talked about God's grace. It just overflowed from his life. I don't think I'll forget that particular moment with that friend, because it was a great blessing and good to hear him say that. God's been so good to me. People make choices, and choices make people. And how we live our life whenever it comes to an end, more than likely there'll be a funeral. Probably told you this before. I'm going to tell you again, and I'll tell you another time. There's basically four types of funerals. One is the dreadful, the one who died without Christ. It's just awful. You point people to Jesus in the service and remind them how important that one decision is. Most important decision we make in life is the dreadful kind of funeral. Then there's the doubtful. That's the one where it's like, well, I think he was a Christian. I'm not sure. He went to church with us some. His mama has a certificate when he was at Vacation Bible School. So it's like, I think he was. I think he didn't. Hey. Don't know. It's doubtful. Those are tough. You go straight to the cross of Jesus, primarily as the one doing this, the message. And you're hopeful based on testimony. And then there's the one, I would call it the distressful, meaning they had so many years, but a big portion of that, they were living on their own. They're going to heaven. They got things right. They're put faith in Christ, and you're grateful they finished strong. But, oh, everybody in the room is wishing and hoping that there had been that time, there wasn't that big lapse where they could have been serving the Lord and doing more for him and having an impact on their children, and they'll never get it back. There's that kind. Grateful they're in heaven. Grateful they got things right from all indications. Grateful. It's not how you start, how you finish. But then there is the delightful kind. Oh, this isn't because a person's perfect. No, only Jesus was perfect. But it's because somewhere along the way in their life, in their spiritual life, they admitted their sin and they put their faith in Jesus and they surrendered their all to him. Lord, I give my life to you. Help me. And by God's grace, they got plugged in. They made good choices overall in their family and in their careers. And sometimes you go in a certain direction in a career and you realize, oops, maybe that's not exactly for me. That's part of life. And you come over here and you try this career and think, oh, I think this is it. That's part of life. But it's a person that they celebrate because they realize that person loved Jesus and you knew it. They weren't perfect. But you knew in your heart of hearts and in their heart, they love Christ. And they did their best, bless their heart, to make him the priority of their life. And you could see that from their career, from their friends, from their church life, from their fun life, examples and choices. It's like, man, this is a celebration. We've all attended those funerals. The choice is yours, and the choice is mine. God help us to make wise, godly choices and be intentional with our resources, with our family, with our buddies, with our time. Oh, God, we cannot do it. We just can't do it. But you can. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Lord, we thank you that as long as we have breath, we have hope. May you remind us today of how important it is to be intentional. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to ask you to stand, as I've already mentioned.